May we enter into the glory of God. Glory is about our humility, service, and love. Let us listen with our soul and meditate with our minds on the glory of Christ and the glory in each person we meet and serve. Well, good morning. Please review the bulletin when you get an opportunity. But first, I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. And I know that we have a couple here today, and so really appreciate you joining us for this service. Also, a reminder, on June 23rd will be Pastor Doris's last service, and there will be a lunch following that immediately after the service. And you can sign up in Fellowship Paul. I think we have 50-some people already signed up, so it should be a very good farewell to Pastor Doris. Please look at prayer concerns as we will prepare for that later in the service. But keep the people on that list in mind, please. Also, the Stephen Ministry is still requesting that you make contact. You can either talk to Holly or to John regarding that. Are there any other announcements that should be made for the betterment of this? Please open the hymnals and the green ones, and it's Open the Eyes of My Heart, 3008. Please join in the responsive reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Please join in singing from the Red Hymnal 143, On Eagle's Wings, and we will sing that twice. Please join in the prayer. Father in heaven, we come this day to renew our spirit. Refresh us with the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide our time as we praise you and grow in the vision of your creation and our faith. Amen. Any children like to come up? As you're probably aware, today is Pentecost. And I'm going to read certain portions of Acts to you that explains, shares the Pentecost with us. And as you already know, Pentecost was a Jewish holiday that they had, and then the Christian Pentecost came along on this in this reading. So starting in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because once each heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" So all of the languages were presented. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what they were spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then later in Acts, Peter goes on to explain, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all of whom the Lord our God will call." The second reading that I'd like to share is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. "For this very reason, make effort to add your faith to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ." I was at the Pines the other day, and I was sharing with a table of people I was visiting, and I said, you know, I have the opportunity to share at a service coming up this week, and Sally's immediate response was, "Keep it brief." So we'll work on that. But isn't that something? Even that. Then I come in this morning and Bruce says, "Yeah, I heard this one pastor say that I put a lifesaver under my tongue, and when that's dissolved, I'm done." So it's interesting the encouragement I'm getting in preparing for this. I just hope the words I share with you and the meditations that it creates in you is pleasing in the sight of our Lord and Savior. So what is this Pentecost? It's really an interesting thing that happens. It's the first Christian Pentecost, and Christians remember Pentecost because God filled Jesus' disciples with the Holy Spirit on that day. Now, the Holy Spirit, and I don't know if you have trouble with that or not, but that's somewhat of a challenge. Peter went on to preach about Jesus, but why did this happen was the question I asked. Why Why did we have this Pentecost experience? Well, you go back earlier and Jesus made a promise. And you recall last week when Pastor Doris was sharing when Jesus ascended, they were all standing there in awe. They looked and they were fearful and yet at the same time, what's going on? And then we find out that the promise in John 14, 16 through 17 says this. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you will know, for he lives with you and will be in you." So now Pentecost is the physical thing that happens to fulfill this promise. Jesus made that promise. And it's still very difficult to understand. You say, how does the Holy Spirit work? Is the Holy Spirit a part of us? Because here in Jesus' promise, it's he will be with you and he will be in you. So this whole connection of soul with the Holy Spirit, now we start to see how that is to be connected. And the Trinity that we attest to makes that real. So you ask the question, does the Spirit live in this world? Well, that challenges my mind each time, but I just want to share a couple experiences. Several years ago, right, about a month after the tornado in Joplin, Missouri, and you heard all that, the publicity on that, Vince and I drove down there because we were doing going to plan a volunteers and mission trip there, and so we went there to review and see what was needed. And it was amazing. We stood in the middle of where the tornado hit, and could not believe the devastation. You know, trees without any leaves or branches, things like that. It was just amazing. And I know some of you actually went there and worked. But here's the thing that really caught us. Vince and I both heard this from a person that worked with that family. There was this family near where we were standing that had the tornado warning, and they ran into the house, and they had four children. They were gathering their kids, and they were going to get to the safest place possible. And in that, the toddler was far away. The winds came, and they went into the house and could not rescue the toddler, four-year-old. And so, all of a sudden you can feel that if you what that would mean to parents and a family. So after the tornado went through and their house was pretty much devastated, they started walking and searching for the four-year-old. And they didn't find the four-year-old. And the next morning they're sitting around, dirty and stuff. They'd been up most of the night. And they see down the way from them, about 100 yards, this child walking toward them. And they look, and all of a sudden that child comes, and it's their toddler, it's a four-year-old. Now, that's amazing. But here's the amazing part. When they asked what happened, that toddler shared this. "There was this big person with big wings that was with me." Now, first of all, you say, "Oh, that's just a kid's view of things." But you know what I'm finding out? Even when you hear our children, when they sing and when they share and stuff like that, there's a little bit more power to that. There seems to be, their eyes haven't seen all the things we've seen, and so they're still fresh, and I think they're still pretty innocent, and I think they witnessed this. But to take this a step further, what we ended up hearing then, several months later, was counselors who had been working, and pastors been working with children. The children were constantly referring to the butterfly people. And they heard it over and over and over again. And so if you go to Joplin, Missouri, in one of the churches, there's a wall of glass and stuff, and it's got butterfly people. See, so these children were saying, "We were safe. We were scared, but we were safe because of these butterfly people." Now, if that was just a single story, that'd be something, but it happened time and time again. We were in Indiana where the two tornadoes went together and took the school and all that and stuff. Well, while we were there, a mother is sitting at the meal with us and shares this story. She says, "We had no basement, So we went, and I got on top of my child, and I was holding down, and the pressure was just terrible, and the noise was just very loud. And so I was covering her head and holding her down, and then it stopped. They got up. The basic house is gone. Their tub is still there. And actually, the refrigerator was two blocks away, things like that. And here they were in that tub. And they went to the doctor, and they were examined, and they noticed a bruise on the back of the mother. And it was a handprint. Now, I don't know, I don't know all the things. But in terms of the Holy Spirit being involved, I can't help but think that that as I struggle to understand what that Holy Spirit is, a part of us, and it's in us and with us. In Galatians, they say there the fruit of the Holy Spirit is as follows. Listen to this. This is Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives. Here's what it produces. Love, joy, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Keep that in mind. And those are considered, like when we're educating kids and talking about things, those are sort of considered soft principles. The small things. And yet when you listen to that list, we try to teach our children that in our Sunday schools. We try to teach it in our schools. And it's a goal. But none of those are hard skills, are they? They aren't ones that you learn to write or you learn to read and things like that. These are the special sort of components of a person's life that's very challenging to teach but are considered the soft skills. In my opinion, faithfulness seems to be the key concept that we can take away from the Pentecost experience. So what is faithfulness? I'd like to share just a couple examples of it. There was a book that was shared with me entitled My Grandfather's Blessings. Rachel Naomi Raymond, I don't know if it's an old one. And actually, Mary shared that with me in the mid-1990s, and I still have it. I borrowed it, and so it probably should get returned to her. But the statement in it is so powerful. Let me just share this with you. Often when he came to visit, my grandfather would bring me a present. There were never the sorts of things that other people brought, like dolls and books and stuffed animals. My dolls and stuffed animals have gone for more than a half century now, but many of my grandfather's gifts are still with me. Once he bought me a little paper cup. I looked inside expecting something special. It was full of dirt. I was not allowed to play with dirt. Disappointed, I told him this. He smiled at me and fondly and said, and he picked up the little teapot from my doll set and he said, "Go to the kitchen and fill it with water." Back in the nursery, he put the little cup on the windowsill and handed me the teapot. "If you promise to put some water in this cup every day, something may happen." At the time, I was 4 years old. My nursery was on the sixth floor of an apartment building in Manhattan. The whole thing made no sense to me at all. I looked at him. He nodded with encouragement. Every day, he called her Nisham Lee. "Every day, Nisham Lee," he told me, "every day." And so I promised, at first curious to see what would happen, and I did not mind doing this. But as the days went by and nothing changed, it got harder and harder to remember to put water in the cup. After a week, I asked my grandfather if it was time to stop yet. Shaking his head, no, he said, "Every day, Nisham Lee." The second week was even harder, and I became resentful of my promise to put water in the cup. When my grandfather came again, I tried to give it back to him, but he refused to take it, saying simply, "Every day, Nisham Lee." By the third week, I began to forget to put water in the cup. Often I would remember only when I had been put to bed and I'd have to get out of bed and water it in the dark. But I did not miss a single day. And one morning, there were two little green leaves that had been there that hadn't been there the night before. I was completely astonished. Day by day, they got bigger. I could not wait to tell my grandfather, certain that he would be as surprised as I was. But of course, he was not. Carefully, he explained to me that life is everywhere, hidden in the most ordinary and unlikely places. I was delighted. And all it needs is water, Grandpa? I asked him. Gently he touched the top of my head. No, Nishim Lee said. All it needs is your faithfulness. And so when we talk about faithfulness, I think that sort of describes it. It's that every day attending to the little things that we need to attend to. A friend of mine, Terry, said to me more than once that an individual becomes who we are due to three things. The people we meet, the places we go, and the books we read, or the plays we hear, the music we hear. Terry's point was that some people come into our lives at different times and impact us in different ways. The same with our travel when we go places, as well as what we see or music we hear. I'll give you an example. Bob, a colleague of mine, Rox and I went to a visitation this week. Bob and I taught together for 10 years. And about a month ago, we sat with him at lunch at another funeral, and had a great talk, and then we get a call that he had passed. He was not in the best of health, but he had prepared for this ending. And I just want to share with you the scripture verse he chose. He says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. And then he was asked to speak at a graduation, and he wrote this message. Love you all, revere life, and stand in awe of God's wonderful creation. Work to protect it and preserve it. Stand up for justice, opportunities for all, regardless of their situation. Don't ever give up the good fight to preserve the dreams of our founders, of our great country, that all people are created equal. Bob. Terry, Cliff, and I would, when I was principal of the high school here, we would go on that three-day retreat, and we had collected surveys and looked at all the data, the test data, the attendance data, and we had all of that. And we would go through it all, and then we would summarize, what does this mean? What does this mean? And our goal was to say, how can we make Sauk Rapide High School better? What do we need to do to make this a better place for kids and staff? And after reviewing everything, we wanted to put an action plan together, but we wanted to put something together that would drive, you know, that would hold our attention. And we came up with a T-shirt. Now, this is an old T-shirt. You see, it's been worn well. But we gave this to our staff, and it says, we are not called to be successful. We're called on to be faithful. And again, it reminds me of the Pentecost. What are we to be faithful to? What does the Holy Spirit bring us, and what are those gifts that we are to share with others? And we heard it, and I will repeat it one more time in a little bit. But what we did as a group, we intended to be faithful in the fruits of the Spirit as shared in Galatians. That's what we wanted. We wanted our school to feel that way. And we want our congregation to feel that way. And it doesn't just go with church. It doesn't just go with school. It goes with our life. I'll share one more example. This may be a stretch for you on this one, but I want to share an example of everyday faithfulness. Some of you have heard this name, Coach Tony Bennett. And now I coached basketball for 48 years, so just hang in there with me on this, because I know I'm stretching this, but here it is. A year ago, Tony's team got beat. They were ranked number one, and they got beat for the first time in the history of NCAA by a 16 seed. Terrible. I mean, he got death threats. I mean, things were just really, really bad. Here are his words at the press conference. This is life. It can't define you. You enjoyed the good times, and you got to be able to handle the bad times. When you step into the arena,
The consequences can be historic losses, tough losses, good wins, and you have to deal with it. Now, it goes a little deeper than that, but 1 year later, he's number one seed again. They play number 16, and they're behind late in the game. Anyway, they survived. They survived several of the games. Anyway, they ended up winning the national championship. Listen to his words. We had to be faithful to our principles, to the little things. Now, that won't mean much to you, but Rox and I went and visited Tony at Virginia. He's friends with our son, and we have known Tony for a lot of years. And so we went and visited, and John knows him and knows what he stands for as well. But in his office, he has five principles, big letters in metal hanging on the wall. These are the words. Now think of this. This is Division I basketball. Humility, passion, unity, servanthood, thankfulness. Each one of those comes from a biblical principle. Philippians 2:1, Galatians 3:23, Romans 15:5-6, Luke 22:27, and Mark 9:35. Now, behind the scenes, it's the strength of attention to the little things, to those what may be called soft principles. And the point here is not winning and losing. Just as with Nishim Lee, it's not winning and losing. It's the faithfulness, the everyday faithfulness that can exist within us and within us as a group and a church, a school, or whatever we may be. The Holy Spirit is within us and will guide us and build that foundation so that we're ready to handle and face the challenges of the world. Again, in Galatians, here are the words. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Pentecost of the past can be the Pentecost of the present. And that is that the Holy Spirit is with us and within us. Blessings to you and amen. Was that brief? You know, we have been given things. We've all been blessed in certain ways. And so whatever we can give back to help, you know, the whole spirit of our Lord Jesus, we will do that. So at this time, would the ushers come forward and we'll take the offering.
Please join in the prayer. Lord, we are blessed. With gratitude, we share our gifts of time, treasure, and talent. May we walk with faithfulness and trust. Amen. You may be seated, please. As we prepare for our prayer time, are there any requests? Let's take time for prayer. Ever-loving and caring God, we come before you humbled by the mysteries and challenges of our world. We first praise you for the beauty of your creation and guide us as we care for the world. And as we walk through our journey, help us to accept what we cannot understand, to have faith where reason fails, to respond with love and acceptance of the challenges we face, to have courage in the midst of disappointment, suffering, and humility in our victories and successes. At this time, listen to our hearts and our concerns as we take a moment to lift names and situations to you. And yet, Lord, guide us as we receive the wonders and blessings in our journey. Blessings for the successes. Please keep in mind Dean's challenge and keep him in prayer, and Nyla's challenge in prayer as well. And so family members or whoever you want to lift up at this time, please in silence lift that prayer to our Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're humbled to be able to lift these to you, and thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide us on our way. And now, Lord, we respond to you through the prayer that you taught us by saying, Our Father, So Heavenly Father, we fill our hearts and minds with the truth that we hear in your scriptures. Help us daily to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to you and to be used for your glory. We will now sing from the Red Hymnal 593, Here I Am, Lord. Go in peace.